Praise the Lord. We violated tradition today. Isn't that wonderful? Well, praise God. I know it's Mother's Day, and thank God for our mothers. This is not what I had in mind for the service necessarily, but you need to acknowledge. I'm so thankful for the order that God established. We're seeing the devil do everything in his power to tear it down. But when God created man in his own image, he created the male and female, and he invested each one with major portions of his image, his likeness, the characteristics that come from him. And each one deserves honor and respect because of where it comes from. And so we just honor everyone today that is in this category. I know that's a tradition and a celebration that we have humanly, but it's the right thing to do, isn't it? Thank God. Well, praise God. It seems like the normal thing for me on Sunday morning is to struggle, and I think the Lord is in that because he doesn't want me depending on myself, doesn't want me just trying to work up a Bible lecture. We don't need Bible lectures. We need to hear what the Lord has. And part of my concern is that the passage I'm focused on in my thinking, I keep coming back to it, I can't really get away from it, is one that we've heard so much, I almost feel like saying, oh Lord, here we go again, that people are going to be saying that. But Philippians chapter 3, and I felt like the Lord emphasized this in a way that I need. And perhaps it's there's something in it that the Lord wants to make more real to us. Paul, of course, I'm not going to read all of it. The first part, Paul describes his own background, and he goes into all of his human qualifications that he felt, he believed, he was taught, this is what makes me acceptable to God. This is what makes me one of God's people, one of God's favored ones. And then the day came, of course, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and that all turned to junk. Garbage, he even calls it. All that he had ever lived for, he suddenly saw was utterly worthless. I pray that God will bring us to that revelation if we haven't got it. I don't care what this life tells you about yourself and your earthly life and what matters here. When it comes to what God's purpose, when it comes to reality, it's garbage. And so Paul is wanting to focus the attention of his readers on what matters and how it works, because this gets into how the Christian life works on a practical level. So Paul is using himself as an example, and this is what he came to having left the other behind in verse 10. Now go ahead and read from there on, and they'll just ask the Lord to unlock what he wants to and what he wants to emphasize. So I do feel like there's one thing that just kind of jumped out at me when I was thinking about this through the week. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And on some point, if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Praise God. Boy, there's so much in that that, you know, part of me just wants to run down every rabbit trail, but I just pray that God will help me to focus on the things that got me into this passage to begin with. Now, first of all, it's obvious that, you know, Paul had a life that he thought was right, and he gave himself to it with everything that he had, but then, of course, the Lord intervened, didn't he? I tell you, do we need the Lord to intervene in our lives or not? There's not one of us here who has any hope if God does not intervene and change the entire purpose and focus of our lives. And not just in some vague general way, but in a very real and practical way so that it affects everyday life. Because that's what this is about. And so he calls this, he likens this in one place to the Lord calling him. There literally was a call where he was summoned to leave the life that he had had and to go on a different journey. And he calls that a heavenward call. Now, heaven is a place in the way he's describing it here, but heavenward, what does that convey? That's a direction. That's a goal. That's not just the place out there, but here is a way that I get there. God wants me to actually walk a road, and that road leads to heaven. I mean, we use those kinds of terms in human life. I mean, if you want to go someplace, well, you follow this road and you'll get there. Well, this is the road that God has laid out for us. And of course, there's so many scriptures that bear on this, and we know the ones we've referred to all the time is the one where we are to run a race that is marked out for us. God has a goal in mind for everyone that he calls. It's not just for us to muddle through. It's not just for us to struggle and strive. But it is an absolute goal that he wants to take me and you to that place that was sung about this morning. I can only imagine. Praise God. Oh, I can't even imagine. But it's going to be something else. But I'll tell you, is there anything else worth living for? Folks, if there's somebody here and you haven't really settled this issue, I pray for you. I pray that God will so lay hold of your heart and mind that you will see the utter vanity of this world and everything that it stands for. May God deliver us in practical ways, but in the fundamental way where our life is literally turned around from going this way to going this way. There's nothing else that can be called Christian faith or the gospel. It is that radical, and may God help us. It was that radical for Paul, wasn't it? It meant everything I have ever valued in the past is just garbage. And then he talks with sadness about people who don't get this. They don't agree with the cross of Christ, which was death. This was something where, you know, this life that I value so much, these desires that I value so much, they're worthless. And if I serve them, if I make them my God, it's going to lead to utter destruction in the end. You think about this world and what it lives for. How many people live just to derive pleasure out of their bodies? Just to be plain. What are they doing? That's their God. They might as well bow down to an image and worship it. Oh God, help us to let go as we sing and let God have his way. So anyway, this is what is underlying this. And Paul is describing in considerable detail. And of course, he begins, and much of this we have talked about many times, but I'm hoping to get to something that simplifies this in a very profound way. I want to know Christ. Now again, Paul didn't simply want information, better theology about Christ. He wanted to know this one that he could know personally. Do you know that in spite of the fact that you may see needs about yourself, there are times when we feel very worthless almost. Oh God, what a failure I am. Lord, look at all that's wrong with me. How could you care about me? And the devil's just whispering in your ear. Anybody ever get there? Yeah. The Lord wants us to get to the point where we know that we can know him. He gets all that's wrong with us. That's why he came. Praise God. That wasn't a barrier to him. Your need and mine were not a barrier to him. They were the reason he came. Boy, is that revealing. Praise the Lord. Okay, and Paul understood this is not simply getting a better theology here to guide my life, and I'm going to just take these ideas and put them into practice. This is a person that I'm going to walk with. He is absolutely invested in my life. He's invested in my future. He's the one that's called me to take me to that place where in the end, I'm not even going to have to deal with this old body anymore. Anybody ready for that? Some of you young people may not think you are, but you will be. Just wait. But praise God, we don't have to live with this and with those impulses that fight against what God wants. God's going to take all of that away. But there's a reason in the meantime why we're here. God is absolutely in control. And he is absolutely ordering our steps for purposes that we cannot imagine. We cannot even understand at the time. That's our problem. How many times do we wind up fighting against God without even realizing it? Yeah. May God help us to learn and to grow. I'm so glad that he understands that he's willing to be so patient with me. Oh, Lord, we learn to be as patient with ourselves and with one another as he is with us. It would change a lot of things, wouldn't it? All right, so I want to know Christ. But now it gets into a little more of the particulars. I want to know the power of his resurrection. God is not, again, wanting simply to give us information. There is power. Power, think about that. I need real power at work in my life because I don't have the power to be what he wants me to be. It does not exist in my ability. In fact, if he doesn't work on me, I don't even want to. I need power that is stronger than this flesh, this old nature that wants to control me. I've got to have something that I wasn't born with. And you think about what Paul expressed in Ephesians 1 when he prayed that they would grow in their knowledge and wisdom and understanding. They would understand that the power that is working for us is exactly the same power that was at work in bringing his son out of the grave. How many times do you and I feel hopeless, helpless, weak, self-pitying, a gazillion negative things that's sort of where we're sitting there in a funk spiritually. And God wants us to be where Paul was expressed here. Now, does that mean that Paul was always there? No. But this was something that he understood to the point where he said, this is my rock. This is always where I've got to go back to. Every time I get in one of those places, I'm going to go back to the reality. I want to know that, and I need to know it. Yes. How did he know that? How did Paul know that? He knew it because he felt it. He expressed all the things in one place that he went through, and he says, fightings on the outside and fears on the inside. He was just like you and me, wasn't he? Except he went through things that you and I will probably never go through. So this is somebody who knows what he's talking about. This is somebody who says, I get, regardless of where I'm at, there is a power that is from God, and it's not against me, it's for me. You know, we sang songs this morning about he'll give me everything I need. I lack nothing. Praise God. How often do we muddle through our day and just kind of never really seem to make much progress in our lives? And as we fight and lose the same battles time and time again. And here's the Lord loving us and saying, I've got what you need. I want you to look to me in everything. Praise God. Well, Paul got that, didn't he? I want to know about that. I want to know that power. I don't want to just know about it. I want to experience that power in a way that makes a difference in my life. Anybody here need that? Yeah, I certainly do. But now there's a way to get there. It says, and participation in his sufferings. Now, sufferings has to do with things that our old nature wants. But yet, because we deny our old nature in some fashion, our old nature is denied what we think we want, then it suffers. It doesn't like it. It wants something different, and it's constantly complaining and wanting this and longing after that. My God, that's what our nature is about. It just never satisfies. You can't satisfy it. I don't care what you do and how you cater to it. You will never, ever satisfy this old nature. And I tell you, when it's denied, when choosing to do what God wants takes you one way and your nature wants to go another, it's suffering. And ultimately, that's what Jesus lived, was a life of carrying his cross daily, just as he called his followers to do, to lay down their lives. But ultimately, it got very literal for him, didn't it? He got to the point where he laid down everything and was willing to be put in a grave because he understood God's plan was not to leave him there, but was to bring him out with a life that could never die and was victorious over sin and death and everything else. This is what he came to share with us. Praise God. I want more of that, don't you? All right, thank the Lord. And that participation in his sufferings, that expression comes up in, I believe it's 1 Peter 4, when it talks about don't be surprised at the fiery trials. That's what he's talking about in that passage. Because what's happening is you are participating in the sufferings of Christ. When there's something that where we're pushed into a choice, am I going to give in to my old nature or am I going to trust God? Am I going to worship, for example, when I don't feel like it and things don't look right and they aren't what I want? Am I going to believe God enough to humble myself and surrender and praise him and thank him? There's some suffering going on, isn't it? My old nature doesn't like it. But you know, there's something happening to it that it begins to lose its hold, and that's what the Lord is looking for. So Paul is wanting to experience that participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, meaning I have renounced what this flesh wants, what this world stands for. I have laid it aside because I get where he's going with this, and that's what I want. All right? And here's one that could be misunderstood very easily. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now that almost sounds like, oh God, I've got to get it all right if I'm going to possibly be resurrected someday. No, that's not what he's talking about. I need resurrection right now. Think about this. Think about what he describes in other places about what baptism means. What is baptism about? Baptism is a confession. It's an identification of the person being baptized with Jesus. Well, what does it signify being put in the water and brought back up? Dying, being buried, and being resurrected to a new life. What Paul is saying here is, I want to get to that point where I can live a new life. This is not some way down the stream of time here where, you know, I'm going to get to a place where, okay, and I'm going to have a new body, everything's going to be wonderful. That's true enough. But Paul wants to experience that now. And he says the pathway to get to new life is to let go of the old one. To be willing to identify myself so completely with his death that I cooperate with the process that makes that real and practical in my everyday life. I need that, don't you? Praise the Lord. Okay. So he immediately jumps in and said, look, I'm not there yet. Not that I have already obtained all this. So there's something, just the very word obtained, doesn't that tell you something? There's something that God has that I need. And there's some part of me that is reaching out to lay hold of that. I wonder how many things that we go through where God is wanting us to do that instead of sitting there and reacting how we typically react. God, you've got what I need in this circumstance, so I'm going to reach out. I'm going to lay hold of that. Praise God. Okay? Okay. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, I mentioned earlier that the context of this is God, is Jesus calling us, but I'll tell you, it's deeper than that, isn't it? Paul wasn't just called, he was taken hold of. Now, that doesn't mean his will was just totally blanked out and overpowered, but rather there was a hold. Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Praise God, that's what I want. I need him to have a hold of my life. My life is, where is my life? In his hands. Folks, that's what it means to belong to Christ. Belong to Christ. It means we don't own ourselves. We have so given ourselves over to him that he is now free to work out the purpose for which he has called us to his kingdom. And man, we need to be in a position where he gets to do what he wants, and he knows what he wants and knows what we need. Now, getting there and living that out is not as easy as it sounds just saying it, is it? This is a process. And here's Paul himself with all that he has experienced at this point in his ministry. And he's having to say, look, I'm not there yet. See, Paul's already in Rome. He's been through a lot. They tried to kill him. They tried to do all kinds of things. And he's just writing to other believers saying, look, I haven't got there yet either, but I understand the process. I understand what the Lord is looking for from me right now, sitting here in this house in Rome under guard, waiting to go come before Caesar so I can find out if he's going to kill me or not. I understand where God has me. I'm in his hands, and my job is to listen to him and cooperate and do what he wants me to do. There are things that there's a reason I'm here. The experiences that I'm having right now in my life are not an accident. Think of the implications of that. They're not an accident. They are by design. The same one who called me knows what it takes to shape me. Think about the illustrations that are used in the scripture about the potter and the clay. But I'm afraid we are awfully stubborn, rebellious bits of clay, aren't we? Lord, I don't understand. Lord, you're making a mistake. Why did you do this? Why that? Why the other thing? Lord, what about that? What about this? What about the other thing? And there we are just constantly critiquing the potter as though we know what's right and we know where we need to be instead of just resting in him and saying, Lord, you know exactly where I need to be. I need to find that place of rest and surrender because I trust you. I know that you love me. I know that you have my best interest at heart, regardless of how it feels to my flesh. In fact, that's central to what he's doing. If he does not deliver me from what I want as a natural man, then he's not doing his job. Think about that. Of course, these things are easy to say in theory, but I'll tell you, there's a lot to this, isn't there? Praise God. All right? So not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. All right? There's a sense of pressing on or of reaching forth, I think it says in one place. But there's something where I get in a situation. Paul realized how the thing worked. I get in a situation and I realize I got a need. I don't know how to handle this. If I just give in to my nature, I'm going to do and say the wrong thing. Oh God, there's something I don't have. But see, the attitude and the sense of his own being was, God hasn't just put me here to defeat me and make me feel bad. He's put me here so that I will, there's so much, everything I need, he's got. But I've got to begin to reach. There's a part of me that is constantly looking. When I feel a need, I'm reaching. Well, does that not does not convey the idea of expectation? Expectance? Why would I reach if I didn't think he cared? Why would I reach if I didn't understand and believe that he does, in fact, have everything that I need? God, help us to have that kind of mentality. This is the way to look at the Christian life. God is going to put us in many kinds of situations where we're going to feel our need. Anybody go out of a service here sometimes? And God's revealed something. Sometimes we'll go out, and boy, I just feel great. I'm ready to lick the world spiritually. And then Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening and Monday come along and wham! Anybody ever run into a battle in those times and all of a sudden it just seems like everything, the wheels have come off and everything slams against you? Do you suppose that's just happenstance? Do you suppose that the Lord just is kind of asleep on the job? Do we not realize that everything that comes against us, that makes it necessary to press, is ordered of the Lord? Every single thing. If the devil is allowed to come against you in any fashion, God has not only allowed it, he has ordained it. Because that is the very way that he wants to make you strong. Oh, there's so many things that we need out of that. How do we discover our needs if we don't run into them, run into situations and needs? My God, how do we find them? How do we find out about that? Boy, there's so many different directions to go here. Lord, just guide my thoughts. But Lord, I just pray. I'm trusting him for his wisdom. One illustration in Scripture is this. When the Israelites were promised the land, all right, did not God promise that? Didn't he say that wherever you put your foot, I've given it to you? Well, the only problem was that land was not just unoccupied waiting for them to step into it. We would like there to be a place spiritually where we just get get somebody to lay their magic hands on us, and all of a sudden we are catapulted into this high spiritual realm. That isn't how it happened. For them to take possession, they had to fight. And they had to be willing to say, to understand, God gave me this. And not just that, but when it comes to the actual conquest, I'm not just here to say, okay, I'm going to run in and do it. You remember what happened when they tried to do that with Ai? God gave them that wonderful victory at Jericho. And it was like, okay, we can just rest here. This is awesome. We just send a few people over to Ai. And it didn't work, did it? I'll tell you, we're going to have to stay in touch with the Lord every single time, every single day. The Lord is the one who knows how to give us the power and the victory and the understanding and the faith and the battle plan, if you will. And I'll tell you, wherever God's people walked with him like that, looked to him, believed his promise, God came through. But how many of the tribes, how many of the people got to a place where they said, that's good enough. I've tried. We just can't drive these people out. So we're just going to live with idolaters living over the next hill. It's okay. God's given me this. I got a place to feed my family. That's good enough. Oh, God, help us. I'm so glad God doesn't leave us like we are. We are so quick to just let go and compromise. I heard that word. Is that you, JP? That's exactly right. We compromise in so many ways, and God is so merciful and faithful. He understands our need more than we can possibly understand it. And I am so thankful that He knows what He's doing and trying to order our battles. God, if there's a battle going on in your life, if there's something that comes against you, God sent it. And He did it because He loves you. Now, it may be because there is a need that you need to come to grips with and face. It may be just that He wants you to learn and experience more of Him. There's no simple answer to everything. We're going to have to stay. That's why we need to know Him. That's why we need to be in a position where we can go to Him and with a humble heart and say, Lord, You've allowed all this, and I know You love me, and I just need wisdom here. What's His promise if we need wisdom? He'll give it to us. And He's not going to rebuke you and say, you foolish person, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you smart enough to handle it? He knows exactly where you're at and where I'm at. Oh, I'm so thankful for His mercy in all of these things. And of course, I guess I jumped ahead in a sense, but the very fact that we use the word press obviously conveys that there are headwinds, there is opposition. If we're going to travel this road, this heavenward road, if we're going to go that direction, we're going to have to go through opposition all the way. Folks, I need help. I need something more than I was born with into Adam's family if I'm going to not only choose and understand that's where my life is headed, but I'm going to absolutely need the power of the resurrection if I'm going to handle that. I need something that I don't have. And I'll tell you, the one thing that drew me to this was I feel like sometimes this is one of those passages that we say, yeah, that's right, press on. But it's so vague in our minds. It's easy for it to be vague. Yeah, I'm not supposed to quit. Okay, I get that. And I'm supposed to just keep going, put one foot in front of another. I get that part. But it's still kind of vague. And sometimes we'll see the big picture and I'm supposed to be this person. This is how I'm supposed to be. How in the world can I possibly do that? And we're off in the wild blue yonder, as it were, spiritually. When God wants us to learn to live in the moment, and to learn how to walk with Him and know Him and trust Him with the process and even trust Him with the progress. Paul says, I haven't arrived. Does he sound like he's distressed about it? Like, I should be there, but I'm not. Oh, God, I just hope He still likes me. See, there isn't any sense of that. Paul was right on schedule. I pray that God will help us to realize that even right where we're at, in a sense, we're on schedule. And if we can understand how to walk with this and how to reckon on this in a daily basis, we can begin to make some of that progress. And there's so much that gets in the way of that. You know, you can be so obsessed with what I'm not and how short I've come and I should be this and I should be that. Oh, God. And we can be so focused on that that we miss the lessons of today. I don't want to be so, and we think, oh, that's being spiritual. If I'm just obsessing with, I've got to be this, I've got to be that, and this is still needful. Oh, God. It's kind of like telling the potter what to do, isn't it? The potter is working on stuff that will get us there if we'll just be quiet and humble ourselves in his hands and do what comes to hand right now. That's all I got to worry about. There's an immediacy to this that I think we miss. And of course, another thing that gets in the way of what Paul is talking about, he indicates there by forgetting what's behind. Oh God, are we good at dragging the past along with us? Doesn't Hebrews 12 tell us to lay aside every weight? Yeah. Oh, we're good at carrying weights. And you know, my failures. Oh God, I failed, Lord. You know, and I'm bringing that sense of failure along, and I can't just let it go and feel free. Do you think, even if we fail, do you think God wants us to go along and say, oh, I'm a second-class citizen now. God couldn't care about somebody like me. Is that how he wants any of his children to live? Of course it isn't. God wants us to be in the moment and have freedom and know him, know that he loves us, and be able to take the next step forward, even though there's wind in our face. He's going to send the wind because he knows that's what it takes to accomplish, you know, us learning to let go of what our flesh wants and to lay hold of what he wants, what he desires. But, oh God, do we hang on to things? Lord, did you see what they did? You need to straighten them out. God, I'm waiting for you to fix that. Fix them. Take care of it, Lord. And I'm so bogged down emotionally with what they did to me or with this thing that happened that I don't understand that I'm not free to move. I'm not free to even live in the moment. I'm so bogged down just carrying that burden of lack of forgiveness, of bitterness, of all the range of things that you think about that we carry in ourselves. And again, the sense of failure is one of the big ones. We get to the point where, well, it's no use. This is good enough. And here's the Lord trying to shine a light and trying to bring us back to the moment. I am so thankful that there is a place where no matter what there is in my past, I can bring it to the cross. And I can be as free from guilt and shame as if it had never happened in the first place. What a miracle of the gospel. But coming to that is a challenge. We just are so proud. It's pride, really. I shouldn't have done that. Well, no, you shouldn't. Do you know there are so many things that God needs to do in our lives that we don't get there unless we experience what's wrong with us. And sometimes, many times, all too many times, the only way we find out is when God says, all right, I'll show you. You think you got this? And he lets us fall in the mud real good. And then, what do? You know, I thought about this. I just pray this fits in here because it's kind of an unusual connection. But one of the most rightly, in the right sense, celebrated characters of the Bible was David. And we talk about his Psalms, and we sang one this morning. The Psalms of praise, the sense of this is a man after God's own heart. But do you know there was a need in David's life that he didn't know about? And you all remember what happened. There came a time when God had blessed him in so many ways. He was becoming one of the most powerful kings on the planet. And everywhere he went, he won victories. But there came a time when instead of being on the field of battle where he was supposed to be, he said, I'm going to sit this one out. God help us to be so in tune with him where we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and not taking a vacation. God help us. But the Lord knew something about David that David didn't understand, and he had to learn something about the Lord's ways. Didn't he say, search me, teach me? All those kinds of expressions that came out of his heart. And those are the expressions of somebody who is after God's own heart. And so God said, all right, here's something you don't get. I'm going to have to teach you the hard way. And so the Lord allowed him to fall into that terrible, terrible sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba and then engineering the murder or the death of her husband and marrying her, and a child was on the way. And there he was. And the amazing thing about it was this man after God's own heart had no idea what he had done. I wonder, do we ever get to that place where we've gone along and we've gone along, and all of a sudden the Lord shines a light and says, what about that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we discover something that we didn't even realize was the case. Does that mean God hates us? I'm so glad that he knows what he's doing and he knows how to shine the light. We have no idea what's wrong with us. And I'll tell you, that's one thing that came out of this experience with David. Because when the Lord sent the prophet who said, thou art the man, what was his response? Thank God it wasn't off with his head, how dare you talk to me like that. It was he went to the Lord in Psalm 51 with an utter honesty. You know, many times the thing that we need the most is for us to show us the absolute unvarnished truth about ourselves. And I don't think David was groveling and pretending when he said, I was born in sin. Lord, you're entirely right. I'm entirely wrong here. There's not one good thing in me. Oh God, be merciful. But he knew enough about the Lord to know that if he came with an honest heart, there was forgiveness. He knew it wasn't a matter of killing a bull or a lamb. He knew that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. One that's ready to lay down every excuse. Oh, how good we are at making excuses when the Lord wants to shine a light on our need. Yeah, but we point everywhere in the world but us. I'll tell you, everybody around you may be wrong, but that's not what God's focused on. If God shines the light here, this is where I need to be looking. It's not somebody else's fault if I do wrong. I need the Lord. So when David was in this circumstance, what did it mean to press forward? What was it that was going to get him moving forward? Well, it was humbling himself. It was a genuine heart of repentance. It was honesty before the Lord. Do you think his human nature wanted any of that? So you see, he was having to make some choices there, wasn't he? And that's where God brings every one of us, because that's what it comes down to, is the choices that we make. But God, in spite of all the consequences of some of this, God didn't see him as a second-class citizen. God still honored him and was with him in so many ways. There was forgiveness. And not only that, he didn't say, I just want to be forgiven so I can feel better about myself. He says, I want to be able to teach others about you. I want to bring them to you through all of this in spite of all the way that it's had to happen. Oh God, be merciful to me. Cleanse me. Do whatever it takes, Lord. I just want to be right with you. You know, sometimes that's the thing that we need the most, is to fall flat in the mud and then experience coming to the Lord that way so that we can experience his love and his mercy. Does that not exalt who he is? That he could allow us to go through something like that and not throw us out or make us sit on the back bench, make us second class, say, I'll let you in, but he was still king, wasn't he? Now, he had to go through some things, but he was still the Lord's anointed. I'll tell you, God will take you and me through whatever it takes to bring us to a point where we understand what we were made of in Adam and how much we need him. And when somebody has that kind of a heart that Paul is describing, when he talks about knowing him and wanting what he wants, this is what, sometimes we have to go through this. And sometimes when you're talking about what's past, what we need to learn how to forget, God wants to bring such a resolution to these things that we are free to move forward. I'll guarantee for every single human being who's listening to my voice right now, there are things in your life that God wants you to be able to let go of. Let God heal. We've talked about these things many times, but this is so fundamental to what it means to be a human being. We just don't do that willingly. But God wants us to be able to let go. There's pride. There's a thousand and one things that come. Where do they come from? Is that coming from God's nature? Is that coming from the new nature we were born with? The thing that holds us back in those kinds of feelings? That's part of human nature, folks, that God wants us to let go. Realize we don't have to serve that anymore. We have been born of a brand new life, the very life of God. The life that Jesus came out of that tomb with is ours, not because we deserve it or have earned it. He's given it to us, and now he wants us to learn to live that out. I don't know how much longer this is going to be, but the thought that drew me to this in the first place is how easily we complicate this business of pressing on. It's like this vague ideal. Yes, I'm pressing on. But what does that actually mean? So much, like I say, so much of the time we are so focused on the big picture, the future, or the things we're dragging in from the past. But what about when you get up in the morning and you encounter somebody and they have a really nasty attitude toward you? Why did that happen? You think that's just some random thing, some accident? Or do you think that the Lord allowed that person to do that because he wants you and me to make a choice? Now, he can take care of the situation, but the situation, as far as I'm concerned, is not what they did, but how do I react with that? Do I react according to human nature? Or do I react according to his nature? And of course, we get in situations, there are certain kinds of things that are what the Scripture calls besetting sins. They're characteristics, they're things we tend to fall into, and they have a hold on us all the time. Anybody? Yeah. How do you get past that? Oh, you come down here and let somebody lay their hands on your head and it's gone. I'll tell you what, God's plan for dealing with that is he's going to make those situations happen. And we're going to feel that thing wanting to rise up in us that we are so used to reacting with. And God wants to bring to us a consciousness of what's happening. See, I'm not bogged down with the future. I'm not bogged down with the past. I'm able to focus on what's really going on. This is the only time I've got. We complicate things. God wants us to learn to live in the moment and understand what he's doing with us. He's going to present us all day, every day, with choices. And they are choices that we can make because he's given us how much? How much has he given us? Everything. All that I need is there. But instead of reacting, he wants me to stop and say, wait a minute, this is the way I've always reacted, but this isn't what God wants. This isn't like his character. It's coming out of the old life, and I need to learn how to live the new life. How can I do that, oh God? There's a sense that he's got what I need, and there's a sense of expectation. Do you really think that we're going to be reaching up to God and desiring to please Him and have the strength that we need to do that? And He's going to say, you're on your own here. It doesn't mean battles aren't going to be real. I'll tell you, if you and I have got in a place where we have learned how to act and react in a certain way over a lifetime, there's a body of experience behind it. There's no simple answer. The answer is we're going to have to run into these circumstances and learn how, step by step by step, to say, Lord, I need your help right now. Okay, Lord, I didn't handle that as well as I should. I'm sorry. Help me. I thank you for the blood that cleanses. Lord, I want to do better. Teach me. Help me in this. And then the next time, Lord, I'm just reaching out. Lord, I don't feel this at all, but I praise you. I thank you. See, that's a choice. We don't wait for the feelings for these things. Lord, I believe you. Oh, God, I let go and I'm trusting you with this situation. Help me to learn how to act and react the way you want me to. There's a sense of a simplicity to this pressing on. Because every day we are going to feel the pressure of the old nature wanting its way. And the question is, what do we do with that? And we know what the Lord wants. Now, don't get this complicated and say, oh, there's so much wrong, I got to fix it all. Aren't you glad that God gets down to the simplicity of the moment? That's where He wants us to get. Not to make this some grand, I've got to press on, okay, I'm pressing on. What does that mean? That means I get up and I feel the pressure against me. I'm wanting to please the Lord, and now this wind is in my face wanting me to react the old way. And I need the Lord. I need to be able to reach out and lay hold of strength that I do not possess. And the only way I can do that is by faith. Faith is not waiting for a feeling. It's a choice that I make to believe, to trust, to praise, to do all the things that I know are right, and simply to trust God with the results. And if I'm still learning and struggling with something, God can help me with that. To the extent I fall short, well, Paul said he hadn't arrived. Doesn't that mean that he didn't always handle everything just exactly right? Think about that. We put Paul on a pedestal. Oh, my God, Paul, he's just different. He's exactly like you and me. Why would he say, I have fightings within and outward and fears within? You think you're tempted? So am I. He had to contend with all of those things every single day. But he learned in the face of that wind, that resistance that he had to feel, that he felt when he wanted to walk this way. He knew what to do. He knew that God had given him everything that he just... This was not a problem. This was an opportunity. This was the... To use the other illustration, this is the potter handling the clay and knowing exactly what I need in that moment. There's a simplicity in what God is looking for from you and me today. Every one of us is in a certain place in our experience. We can't sit here and say, oh, I should be there, or what about this? Oh, God. We're going to have to say, this is where I'm at. I'm in the hands of somebody who knows what he's doing. He's got an eternal plan to make me into his image. I'm going to be like him. That new life that he gave me is going to be in charge. But right today, he is going to drop things in my pathway. Sometimes there are a whole lot of things. Sometimes there are little things. Sometimes we just need rest, and he gives it to us, thank God. He knows how to order our steps. But even if I'm in the valley of the shadow, what does the scripture say? What did David say? Thou art with me. So God never leaves his own. But oh, how we just don't understand the depth of our need. And if God has to let you fall in the mud to see it, you need to praise him. You need to repent, yeah, but you need to say, thank you, Lord. I didn't get that. I didn't understand. Or if you come out on Monday morning and you see and you feel all these things trying to grab hold of you that have had a hold in your life and your mind, and they're coming from the past and they're anxious about the future and all these things. Oh my God. We need to stop and say, wait a minute. Well, what does he talk about in chapter 4? Don't be anxious. Anxiety is fear concerning the future, isn't it? Well, if God's calling me to live in this moment and trust him with the future, do I not have grounds to bring that to him and say, God, this thing's trying to take hold of my heart and my life is trying to control the way I think and act and react. I have the privilege of giving that to you and knowing it's in your hands. And what do I get in return? If I'm really, really doing that, I'm getting peace. That's what God wants me to experience. How can I have peace with all that stuff that might happen? Well, I'm serving somebody who's got it all in his hands. If it's supposed to happen, it will, and he'll give me what I need to handle it. That's his job. It's not mine. Stop trying to do God's job. Stop trying to figure everything out. Say, why did this happen? What about that? How about giving all our whatabouts and whys into his hands and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you with my life. I know that when I need something, you're going to give me the power to make that simple the simple choice that I need to make right now. I'm feeling the pressure. I'm feeling the wind. You allowed that wind to come. You allowed it to blow, and it's giving me resistance. I'm supposed to go this way, and I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I have to push to do it. But you're going to give me this opportunity to reach out and to lay hold. You know, in one of the scripture that comes to mind that bears on this, we've used so many times. No temptation has seized you. Now see, here we are. We're not looking for something, but it just comes. How could it come if God didn't allow it? You see, God is the one who allowed that thing. Now, he's not the tempter, but he certainly allows us to be tested and tempted. But there's no temptation seized you, but that which is common to man. But, thank God for the buts. God is faithful. And how does that faithfulness express itself? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. Now, he's not talking about the ability you got from Adam. He's talking about what stands there ready to give you to handle it. And it's not just that we can make it all go away, it's that we can endure it, because we are supposed to run the race with patience, endurance. There's a sense which I'm going to have opposition, but I don't stop. It doesn't stop me. I've got what it takes to keep putting one foot in front of the other and saying, I've got my eye down there. Devil, you can't stop me because God's power is at work. You see how all these things come together in this picture? God wants me to experience him in the moment. He is going to allow things that he knows that I need to handle. Winds are going to blow that he has allowed to blow in my life. They are going to expose areas where my human nature wants to rise up and take control. In that moment, he wants me to be reaching and expecting and understanding what's going on, so I'm not bogged down by it, not defeated by it. But I understand I have the right, I have the privilege, I need to come to him and reach out, because he has everything I need, not just to endure it, but to praise him, to do what he wants me to do, to make a choice to put my foot forward and say, devil, you cannot defeat me because the power of God is at work in my salvation. Praise God. I just pray that God will help us to get the simplicity of this and not, as I say, get bogged down. Anybody here ever been bogged down with, when you think about it, you know, this press on, has it ever seemed vague to you? Yeah. Well, it has to me anyway. You're all smarter than I am. But God help us to bring that down to the moment. Realize that's all we have to worry about. We can give our future into his hands. We can give our past into his hands and be free if we will. See, even that's a choice. Because our old nature wants to cling to things that, for various reasons that have to do with our past, or just be so attached, so fearful of the future and what might happen, that we forget to come right to the moment and say, Lord, you order my steps. if you bring something against me, if you allow it, it's because you allowed it, and you allowed it for a loving, good reason, so that I can learn more about you, I can experience more of the power of your resurrection. And I can actually learn how to walk in this resurrection from the dead that you talked about. Because that's what I was in Adam. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. It's like what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, is it? There I was. But God raised me up with Jesus Christ, and he's given me a new life. And now I've got to learn how to live that out. Folks, there isn't a person here, obviously, who can say, yeah, I've got that licked. My human nature is just so dead and gone, it just doesn't even have any hold on me anymore. Anybody like that? See, we need this, don't we? I don't want to be like those who just, certainly not those who serve the world, but I don't want to be one that just misses what he's trying to say here. This is God's pattern. This is how God takes us heavenward. He wants me to learn more about him here. He wants me to experience this thing. It's not just a doctrine, the power of the resurrection. Wow, I believe in that. Yeah, but do you ever experience it? What difference does it make in your life? This is what God is wanting. And if we're going to be lights in this world, if we're going to be experience his life, we're going to have to be reaching. We're going to have to be expecting. We're going to have to be understanding the process, like what Paul describes here. And I'll tell you, God's going to take us to the end, and he's going to transform our bodies, as he says, their lowly bodies, so that they will be like his glorious body. I'll tell you, you're going to like where this ends up. But I want to be more cooperative with the process and understanding, not just blindly blunder along and think, oh, I got this. You know, you get that way, pretty soon you're going to be like David. You're going to fall in the mud, and then God's going to bring you out, and then you're going to realize. But even then, don't we realize the greatness of God's mercy and love? He can bring us back to that moment when we're looking to him, and we can be as free from the guilt and the sense of failure as if it had never happened in the first place. And we can do it because not because we deserve it, but because of the power of the gospel and what he did for us at the cross. Praise God. Praise God. We have every, you know, we worshiped him a lot this morning. Thank God. We have every reason to do it. And God wants us not just to muddle through and say, I hate the way this is. I know I'm supposed to put one foot in front of another. I just don't like it. No, God wants us to be able to do it with thanks. Say, Lord, I understand where this road leads, and I am so thankful you've got me on it. I know you've given me the strength to do it. Lord, I'm just going to praise you in the storm if that's what you send. Because you are just as faithful when the storm hits as when the breezes blow, when the pleasant breezes blow. Well, God is faithful, isn't he? So I hope we have a different, simpler view of what pressing on means. That it's not just this vague thing. It just means making choices in the moment to agree with God and to lay hold of his promises that we can handle and say no to what our old nature wants and yes to what he wants. And not say, oh, but it's still a problem. It's still, just take it a step at a time. Let God set the pace. If God were demanding all of this stuff that we demand of ourselves, man, it'd be rough. But we are the ones pridefully, I need to be leaping up here instead of just taking a little step and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I could make that choice and rejoice in you. Okay, time for a little more. All right. There's so much that God wants to do, and if we'll just learn to live in that moment and take the steps that he puts before us and trust him for what it takes to get there, we're going to get there, and we're going to be what he wants. Praise God for his faithfulness. Praise the Lord.